Good morning or good afternoon, depending on where you are in the country. This is Eugene V. Coulson. You are listening to Mind Controlled America. If you watch TV, you go to church, you've been in the military, you play video games, you are under mind control. Now, I have a guest I'm bringing on here. He knows quite a bit about Planet X. But before we get to that, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, Al?
Okay, well, I have a master's degree in sociology. I used to be a licensed psychotherapist. I'm retired right now. I've had a long-term interest in arcane matters, particularly parapsychology, paranormal phenomenon. Recently, in the last 10 years, I've done a lot of research in the field of ufology, and in the last 4 years, I've focused on Planet X.
And what made you draw you to look at this paranormal and related materials?
Well, I used to teach psychology at the community college level, and I had an interest in parapsychology. It goes back to my 20s when I started reading some of Edgar Casey's work, The Sleeping Prophet. And I don't know, I've just been drawn to esoteric kinds of knowledge or information. It's just part of my personality.
Now, was there any history on the research you've done on Planet X and any of the ancient writings of ancient civilizations?
Oh, yes.
Is there any information that they had?
Oh, yes. During the Sumerian civilization, which is pre-Egyptian, there was a great deal of information that was recorded on the cuneiform tablets, which Zechariah Sitchin writes about in his book, The Twelfth Planet. And that's a seminal work as far as identifying this object or this orb, whatever you want to call it, celestial phenomenon, Planet X, which is written about in the Sumerian texts. So Zechariah Sitchin is really a foundation for the science of identifying Planet X.
What did it say in the ancient writings about Planet X?
Well, his conclusion is that this is a body. It's described in many different ways. Some call it a comet. Some call it a planet. An orb, my conclusion is it's a starship. But that this object, whatever it might be, enters into our solar system and has been for eons. It has a cycle of 3,600 years. And when it does enter into our solar system, it creates chaos. It has in the past and it will in the near future. Chaos in terms of climate, earth changes, dramatic earth changes, including a pole shift, a geological pole shift. Now, some say that we're in the midst of a pole shift now, a magnetic pole shift, which has been documented with some astronomers and geophysicists, but it's more than just a magnetic pole shift. It's a combination of magnetic pole shift and geological pole shift.
And which way does it rotate?
It's in a retrograde orbit, meaning that it's counterclockwise to the orbit of all the other planets. So it creates tremendous magnetic force that disturbs all the planets in the solar system. And this was actually verified back in 1983 with infrared satellite to NASA, which identified this rogue planet coming into our solar system back in 1983 when it was disturbing the orbit of Neptune. And there was an article published in the Washington Post December 30, 1983, identifying, they speculated that it was Planet X because of the history of Planet X. You know, they identified it as such. And then there was no more exposure other than another article in the New York Times, which actually preceded the Washington Post article by about a year. But other than that, there's been very little coverage, and any coverage you do find within the mainstream media is a matter of debunking the actual existence of Planet X.
Now, in the ancient writings, did they write about any kind of extraterrestrials or anything like that that were associated with?
Yes. As a matter of fact, there's references to Planet X, but it's not called Planet X in the Bible. It's referred to as Wormwood in Revelation. And there's also reference to Planet X, although again not mentioned that way, in Genesis in regards to the Nephilim, which is N-E-P-H-A-L-I-M, I believe, is how it's spelled, although it's spelled differently in other texts. There's reference to the Nephilim, which were giants that roamed the earth during the Sumerian civilization, probably way before then. There's speculation, and I do believe it's true, that Planet X, which I call a starship, or a battleship, is occupied by these Nephilim.
You believe that there was a Noah's Flood or not?
Yes, I do.
Okay, well, so do I, because when I was in Area 51, and if the listeners want to go back to the very first show I did, I was explaining where they came from. Now, I was told that the anti-gravity devices and the Grays, which were different, that crashed at Roswell, came from pre-flood man. And possibly Mars was inhabited and they destroyed themselves like we're trying to. And then there is another theory that there was a planet, because the asteroid belt going around our universe, that, and they studied other universes out there, that we have a missing planet between Earth and Mars. So, you know, I think there's a possibility that maybe we're the number third world in this solar system that was created.
I've read different things about that as far as what the history of the Earth as a celestial body in the solar system. And Zechariah Sitchin, 12th Planet, gets into that to some extent. As well as Emmanuel Velikovsky, he's another seminal author on the subject of pole shift. I recommend, if people are interested, that they check out his work, World in Collision and Earth in Upheaval. He wrote in the 50s. As far as the possibility of Earth having some kind of cataclysmic encounter with another celestial body, yeah, there's some evidence that's true. And according to what I've read, the Earth was in a different orbit around the Sun in the past, that it was the fourth planet from the Sun, rather than the third planet, and that there was a collision between, it could be Planet X, or maybe another, you know, celestial body, asteroid, whatever, that occurred, and it changed the geology of the Earth, and as well as the orbit of the Earth. And one theory is that the asteroid belt, which is between Earth and Mars, once upon a time that was part of the Earth, and when collision occurred, it just, you know, shattered a part of the Earth and created the asteroid belt.
And the possible wobble, or the tilt of the Earth, and the wobble in its orbit?
That's possible. That's the source of it. Actually, today there is a wobble. It's called the Chandler Wobble. And I don't know how long it's been part of the Earth's history, but the one theory is that the planet X is creating a more severe wobble, which in turn is causing some of the problems in our climate and in our weather patterns.
Now, do you believe there's a satanic tie with Planet X, like I know there is with all this other UFO and android phenomenon?
Yes, I do. I do believe that's true.
And as I said earlier, I've been interested in different fields of study, and one of them is metaphysics and spirituality, and which includes whether or not there is, in fact, Satan. Does Satan exist? And if so, you know, what's that all about? So I do believe that Planet X has a definite satanic association. Yeah.
Now, when do they think it's going to arrive close enough to Earth to cause a problem and to be seen?
Okay. Actually, there's photographs of Planet X on the Internet. And all you need to do is type in Planet X plus photos, and you'll come up with various photos associated with one particular website called Zeta Talk. And these photos have been taken by people from all over the world. When Planet X was making its first close pass back in 2003, and so there are actually photos of it, and it entered in our solar system, as I mentioned earlier, about 1983. It made a fairly close pass in 2003, and I think it was probably responsible for the tsunami that occurred in Indonesia.
No, that did not cause the tsunami. That was done by nuclear bombs under the crust of the ocean.
Oh, it could be too. I've read that. Yeah, I don't know for sure, but I know for sure that the passage of Planet X near the Earth, as it made its way towards the sun, is increasingly affecting climate and weather patterns. And,
there's a possibility that Planet X was involved in the tsunami as well, and they could have worked in conjunction with one another.
Yeah, I think so. That was definitely a reaction to the movement of tectonic plates, because the earthquake was deep under the sea. So it could have been a combination of factors. Some think HAARP had something to do with it.
Yeah, I've been told that HAARP, they use HAARP to cause earthquakes in conjunction with other weapons. What speed does this thing travel through the solar system?
I don't have an exact figure for you, but it traveled relatively fast as far as, you know, when it entered into our solar system and was causing a disturbance with the outer planets. That was back in 83, and now it's made a turn around the sun, and it's supposedly near the orbit of Mercury, which is, what, the second closest planet to the sun. And so it's only a rather slow clip compared to, you know, its entrance into the solar system as it approaches Earth. Why, I don't know. But it is going to be seen in the night sky in the southern hemisphere next year, supposedly around May or June. And as it approaches closer to the Earth, of course, it's going to be obvious to everyone by 2011 or 12.
Do they believe it's a smooth surface, or does it have craters, dips, and valleys?
Now, this is interesting. There is a photograph of Planet X taken by a Russian satellite. Of course, you realize that, you know, it's still way, way off. I doubt that Planet X, the inhabitants of Planet X, can allow anything, any satellites or telescopes, you know, to get too close. And but it seems to have a smooth surface. It's red in color, and it may have a protective outer shell. It has to have some kind of heat shield, because it actually got very close to the sun. It orbited the sun for several years before it started making its way towards the Earth. So I think it has something to do with a advanced technology, a heat shield that we have no idea what it's about.
Well, I know Lieutenant Colonel S.C., who was on the Daniel Ott Show, through his sources, he had gotten that the United States is considering sending numerous ICBMs out to blow it up or divert its course at some point in time, because it's on a collision course with us. Have you heard anything about that?
That's ludicrous. I mean, to think that we're going to be able to blow this thing up with missiles is just out of question. It just shows the folly of the military-industrial complex intelligence. And I don't think it's possible. I mean, I'm sure they'll try to do it, but it's just a futile thing. I mean, we're talking about something that's the size of Jupiter, and that can, you know, get closer to the sun than Venus and still survive. So how are we going to penetrate this thing with missiles? It's ridiculous. It's just an effort at futility and out of fear. We don't have any defense against this in terms of military technology, because this thing is way beyond anything we're capable of dealing with. And I don't want to get into how we could possibly deal with it, because I know it raises a lot of people's fear, you know, when we start considering the possibility that Planet X is going to, you know, create this huge disturbance in our Earth, geologically speaking, with pole shift and continental shifts and subduction, earthquakes and volcanoes, the whole nine yards. I mean, we're talking about end-time scenario here. When Planet X gets closer to the Earth, and it'll approach towards the South Pole, and the North Pole of Planet X will align with the South Pole of Earth. There's going to be like a tethering. And because of the mass and the magnetic field, the Planet X is going to create havoc on Earth. The possibility of survival is close to nil. Now, I'm not trying to alarm people. This is what I've read. You know, I'm not a doomsayer. I like life. You know, I love the Earth. I like living. I don't want to be a harbinger of doom. I'm just trying to describe what I've read, what I know, what I think is true, and to alert people, because if we continue to ignore this phenomena or deny its existence, have a skeptical, skepticism has its place, but if we go into denial over this phenomenon, this reality, we're doomed. We're actually doomed. The human race is going to be extinct.
Well, one of the things you hit on earlier, the fear. See, the way the New World Order and the Satanists and all this UFO stuff is, they're selling us fear because they want everybody afraid all the time so they can control us. Like Victor, a guy I had on about 3-4 weeks ago, he had met with a lot of people who claimed to be abducted, and he said they all pretty much told the same story, and they were all paranoid and fearful. And they want to keep us fearful so that we're always looking to the government to save us, so we can give up more rights, and they can raise prices, they can make more money as we get poorer, and just control us more and more and more.
Yeah, well, we can't look to the government for solutions. They're part of the problem. People have to wake up to the fact that the government operates as a mechanism of control, for the most part, mind control, social control, and economic control. My research leads me to the conclusion that the government, in a way, is in cahoots with the cover-up, the conspiracy about Planet X. And there may be a link between the elite who govern the world, especially the blue bloods in Europe, and what's happening with Planet X, because, as I mentioned earlier, it's likely that Planet X is inhabited by a race of giants, the Nephilim. And the Nephilim have a history on the Earth, goes back to the Sumerian civilization, way beyond that. And I do believe that the Nephilim are still, there's a remnant of the Nephilim that is still here on Earth.
Lieutenant Colonel S.C., he claimed to know that they had tunneled underground before Noah's flood, and they were still on Earth. And I was told that the crash at Roswell, they took off before the flood, and they were in some kind of hyperstasis in outer space, and periodically would come back. Now, I think there's a possibility that if there are these Nephilim, that this could be true.
Yeah. I've read different things. I'm still, you know, researching. I've read maybe close to 100 books on this topic and related to Planet X, and I'm discovering new information all the time. And so, you know, new things are coming to light. And one of the things I've recently discovered is that there's this thing called the Stargate. Have you heard of that, Stargate?
I've heard rumors of it, but, you know, I don't know. There's so much information, disinformation out there. I don't know if it could be true. But the media is, you know, Sci-Fi Channel and all these different movies. They're trying to get us ready for an outer space invasion, which I believe is going to be coordinated here on Earth. Even Larry King's show recently, several weeks ago, did two shows, on one in Crawford, Texas, and another one with all these Air Force officers that saw UFOs. Have you seen any UFOs?
Yeah. I've seen UFOs for the last 10 years. I recently moved to Oregon, and I've had two sightings since I've been here in the last 2 years. I had a fairly close encounter with a UFO when I lived in Taos, New Mexico. It was an orb. It was just amazing. It was a mind-blowing experience. It totally floored me. I saw this orb about 3 miles hovering. I didn't know what it was. It was a bright white light. You know, it didn't blink or anything. It was stationary. And it was hovering over the foothills. It was at night. And I'm staring at this thing. What the heck is it? And then all of a sudden it starts coming towards me. It's rapidly moving in my direction. And then within a minute or so, it's like maybe 100 yards or less from where I am, hovering at about 100 feet. And I'm staring at this thing, and it's about the size of the basketball. And I stayed there for about 15 seconds or so, and then it just disappeared. And that was my closest encounter with a UFO. I mean, most people, when they think UFO, they think flying saucers, but, you know, these orbs have also been identified throughout the world, particularly in association with crop circles. And that was my first real close encounter with a UFO, and subsequently, I've seen UFOs from a distance, anywhere from a few miles to maybe 15 miles.
What did they look like?
Well, they're different. One, let's see, in Taos, New Mexico was an amber color, just round. I wasn't that close to it because I couldn't make out if it was, you know, the details of it, but it was stationary, and I knew it was a UFO because, first of all, it was close enough where I could see it and didn't make any noise. And then it was stationary, and then all of a sudden, zips, you know. I mean, I've never seen any space vehicles, you know, move in the kind of direction that it moved in. And so mostly it's been just lights, you know, hovering in the distance, sometimes red, sometimes amber, sometimes bluish white. But I've never had an encounter with ET, you know, per se.
Has anybody you talked with claimed to have an encounter with an ET?
Yeah. Now, you know, I would like to talk more about ETs at a different time if we can have, you know, a session.
Okay, well, go ahead and tell us what you want more about Planet X. We've got another 36 minutes, so.
Yeah, I don't mind talking about ETs a little bit, but I just want to make one statement about ETs, as far as I know. There's a lot of misinformation, inaccurate information about the whole ET phenomenon. And what disturbs me, since I have, again, you know, studied this fairly in depth for the last few years, is that, first of all, people focus on UFOs. Oh, there's a light. You know, what is it? And then there's all kinds of controversy. Is it terrestrial? Is it government? Black ops? You know, is it real UFO? Extraterrestrial? What shape it is? What color it is? How it moves in the sky? On and on and on. You know, I mean, like, who cares? We should be looking into, well, if they do exist, which apparently they do, who's behind it? You know, what,
what beings are involved with these UFOs. They're probably not remote control or, you know, drones or whatever, or unoccupied. No doubt these things are occupied. Yeah, so we should be focusing on, well, who occupies these ships? What's their agenda? You know, where do they come from? What do they want from us? What kind of interaction are they having with us? You know, these are the real issues that should be associated with UFO phenomena, not, you know, how big it is or what color it is or how fast it moves. Those are extraneous issues. We should focus on the alien situation.
Now, have you had any problem with any of these other UFO organizations not wanting anything to do with you because of your main direction of focusing on Planet X?
Exactly. It's very disconcerting, very frustrating to think that you're trying to make contact with colleagues in the field, so to speak, you know, people with similar interests in ufology. And my experience recently, you know, I made contact with several UFO groups on the Internet, asking them what they think about Planet X, or if they'd be willing for me to, you know, divulge what I know through their organization, and I get no response.
I've had similar problems because I've contacted pretty much all of them that have radio shows and so forth, and very few want to touch me. They're afraid of me with a 10-foot pole, and I'm sure you're probably getting some of the same thing.
Yeah, I am. And it's so, you know, that makes me feel isolated. It's just a few websites that I trust the information, and actually I was relying on one particular website for some very detailed information about Planet X, and I was trusting most of what I was reading, but recently I started to doubt some of their conclusions. You know, I think they have a lot of accurate scientific information that you can't find anywhere else. I'm not going to mention the website. People, if they're interested in Planet X, can find a lot of information on the Internet. That's all I got to do is punch in Planet X. And they'll find a variety of viewpoints. And so they're going to have to, you know, do their homework and just use discernment as far as what's true and what isn't true. And so I've come to the conclusion that there's not even a handful of organizations or sources of information that are accurate about Planet X. And so I feel like I'm standing on a desert island or something, you know, when it comes to how I see it. Now, since the YouTube thing has come about, there's some information out there that I think is fairly accurate about Planet X and the Nephilim. That's another topic or subject you could punch in on the computer is Nephilim. N-E-F-I-L-I-M. There's one website that really cracks me up that claims that this woman who has a pretty big following, she claims a million contacts over the years on her website. She claims she has, she channels information from the Nephilim. And it's all good, you know. These folks are coming back. They used to inhabit the earth. They're returning to Earth to solve our problems. That's what she claims. That's why she has such a huge following, because she has this Pollyanna outlook about the return of the Nephilim, which is totally off base as far as I'm concerned. It's just the opposite. You know, because people don't want to hear bad news. They're not going to listen. They just turn off. They can't handle it. But the fact is that we got to acknowledge these things as possibly true.
Yeah, I wonder if anybody's ever done any Bible code research on this Planet X. You heard anything about that?
Yes, there is information on the Internet about that. You just type in Bible code Planet X and you'll find information about that. There's one website I found very intriguing that purportedly deciphers Bible messages or secret codes about the return of Planet X. Yeah.
Do you think we're in the tribulation right now?
Yeah, there's no doubt in my mind.
Yeah, I know three spiritually gifted people, and one very large religious organization who was run by some decent people, and they all say we're in the beginning of the tribulation.
Yeah, we're in the end times.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead and tell us more about Planet X.
Okay. Well, Planet X has everything to do with the end times. It is the hub of it. It's the nexus, and because it's part of our history. Okay, maybe I should go more into what is probably going to happen, is already happening to some extent, and will be exacerbated once Planet X gets closer to the Earth. Now, this is getting pretty scary, but I'm just sharing information and people check it out themselves. As far as the effects of Planet X on the Earth, you can read about it. As I mentioned earlier, Villikovsky's work, Sitchin's work, John White wrote a book called The Pole Shift, and there's other sources of information about the pole shift. Now, we're presently experiencing a magnetic shift in the magnetosphere of the Earth, and this has been scientifically recorded. Now, some scientists say, well, this is just a cycle that happens periodically. And others claim that the magnetic field is being dramatically affected recently in the last 20 years or so. There's an electromagnetic field that surrounds the Earth. Electromagnetism is part of the universe, a part of all the celestial bodies. Actually, it's all part of our physical makeup as well, part of our aura. The magnetic field of the Earth is being diminished. It's getting weaker. And this has been scientifically established, particularly in the area of the South Atlantic, off the coast of Brazil. It's called the South Atlantic Anomaly, where the magnetic field of the Earth is decreasing. And this is ominous, because the magnetosphere, also called the Van Allen Belt, there's an inner and outer Van Allen Belt that surrounds the Earth, electromagnetic field that is a shield against harmful solar radiation, particularly UV rays, gamma rays, and that kind of thing. And so it acts as a shield to prevent the Earth from being scorched by solar flares, for example, which are increasing also. And so as the magnetic field weakens, we're going to be more susceptible, we being Earthlings, to bombardment of solar radiation and solar storms, which in turn will affect the weather patterns, and which are now, we can see that now, if you follow weather patterns and climate change and the whole thing about greenhouse gases and global warming, the people are off the mark as far as the cause of global warming. It's attributed to mainly the burning of fossil fuels, and I'm not saying that's not a cause. It's not the primary cause. It's a secondary cause. The primary cause of so-called global warming, which is also not an accurate term, it's more accurately climate change. It's not just warming. We're seeing increased severity of winter storms and hurricanes and that kind of thing.
Talking about HAARP now, aren't you?
Talking about what?
The HAARP project.
The what? HAARP?
Yeah. HAARP?
No. I'm not talking about HAARP. I'm talking about HAARP may be part of the technology that's creating aberrant weather patterns. I'm not denying that, but it's not the primary cause. The primary cause of climate change is Planet X and its effect on the electromagnetic field of the Earth. Now, where does the Earth get its electromagnetic field from? The core of the Earth is iron, mostly iron and nickel. Iron is a magnetic ore, a magnetic metal. And so what's happening is, as Planet X gets closer to the Earth, because of its own overwhelmingly powerful magnetism, it is affecting the Earth's core. And what's happening is there's more agitation of the core, which is resulting in molten lava being redistributed, basically. The lava is moving from the center of the Earth to the extremities of the Earth, towards the poles. Because I mentioned earlier the South Atlantic anomaly, which is the weakening of the Van Allen belt in that area. And one of the reasons is because the magma of the Earth is shifting from the center of the Earth towards the poles. And we're going to see increased volcanic activity. We're already seeing it in the area of the poles, particularly in Chile and Alaska right now. And so this is one of the signs that the Earth is going through some upheaval and will increase and intensify in the next few years.
Now, you were talking about the Nephilim at length. What do they think they eat for sustenance?
Oh, getting into really scary stuff here. Okay. Keep in mind that the Nephilim are giants. Some say anywhere from 8 feet tall to 20 feet tall. And there's some evidence that the Nephilim practiced human sacrifice when they were around during the Sumerian civilization. Let me just give you a brief description of what Sitchin says about the Nephilim and their relationship to humanity, the human gene pool. Now, this is going to be hard for a lot of people to swallow, particularly people who believe in the idea of creationism and that God created man. According to Sitchin, the Nephilim created man, and they created man through genetic experimentation with the Neanderthal. The Neanderthal was captured, I guess, the word, and experimented with as far as genetic experimentation using a combination of Nephilim genes and Neanderthal genes. And producing a humanoid or human race that was more advanced than the Neanderthal, probably along the lines of Cro-Magnon man.
Well, this is what, you know, I know that they've found pre-flood man, and they found that he was genetically different than us, because it said Noah was perfect in all his generations. Now, my thoughts on that are, and from what I've been told, is that through the devil worshippers in pre-flood man, or maybe even in pre-earth man, genetically altered themselves to enhance their abilities and were doing all sorts of human experimentation and genetic type experimentation to create the Nephilim and all these other ETs, and that Lucifer is the one behind it, and he's always been behind it.
Right. Yep. Lucifer is behind it. Remember, in the Bible, I'm not a scholar of the Bible. I've read the New Testament, the Old Testament, a couple of times, and I study Revelation to some extent. I don't consider myself an expert or scholar. But one of the things that's mentioned in the Bible as far as Lucifer is concerned, or Satan, is that in the end times, which I believe we're in, the battle is really one of powers and principalities. Those are the terms that are used. And the beings of darkness, which is all part of what Satan's agenda is, you know. If you believe what the Bible says about Satan, that once upon a time he was Lucifer, which he was like one of the highest of angels in the hierarchy of angels, close to God, but then he rebelled. and out of pride or the need for power, there was a falling off. The angels, the hierarchy of angels, a third of them, went with Lucifer in defiance of the universal laws that God has orchestrated. And so I do believe that what we're talking about here is satanic, and that Planet X is part of this agenda of satanic power or power grab. I think that we're seeing satanic influence now in terms of a civilization almost at its peak. You know, I mean, there's always been satanic behavior or evil, you know, in the world. But it seems to be getting worse, and it's getting more pervasive. I mean, it's even more overt, particularly in the media. And, you know, where you have just a proliferation of violence in the media, whether it be on TV or in the movies or game, video games or whatnot. And there seems to be an exacerbation of the problem. I think Planet X, see, this is one of the conclusions I've drawn metaphysically, is because we are more and more under the influence of Satan, that it affects the collective consciousness of humanity. The collective consciousness of humanity is predominantly negative, obsessed with violence, sex, crime, vice of all kinds. And because of that, it has its ramifications as far as the consciousness of Earth. Now, I do believe that Earth is a conscious being. I think all celestial bodies are conscious beings. They have consciousness. I mean, it's been pretty much proven with plants, you know, that the research has been done with how plants react to human intention and emotion. So why should it not also, you know, be true of Earth in general? And because there's such a perverse negativity that's so dominant within the world, it's affecting the consciousness of Earth as well. And in fact, attracting energy such as Planet X, which has been the case not just now in our history, but in the past, the Earth, I believe, has been a home ground for Satan for a long, long time.
Yeah, the Star Wars movies where they had that one planet that was built, I believe that George Lucas got all of his ideas for the scenario in Star Wars is from the dark side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, see, I'm not a Star Wars fan. I don't watch crime on TV, and I don't like to think about it. I'm not interested in it. I think it lowers your vibration. It affects your consciousness, and it has ramifications for your spirit and your soul. So I try to focus on peace and love and enlightenment, but I don't ignore the negative side. I have intellectual curiosity about it. I want to know as much as I can, but I'm not behaviorally or emotionally or psychologically involved in any of that stuff.
How long do you think it took them to make Planet X? Because I believe that, you know, millions of years ago when the cataclysmic event that killed the dinosaurs, all your paleontologists agree that the meat-eating dinosaurs were around at the very end of the dinosaur age and weren't around for very long. And I have a theory that possibly Lucifer had the ability to pervert the creation. And this happened millions of years ago. So you think the possibility that this thing could have taken millions of years to build?
I have no idea. I think that part of what I gleaned from the information, particularly Sitchin's work, and he's got a new book out. I'm not sure of the title, but his research on Planet X that's described in the 12th planet, he mentions that the Nephilim were involved in gold mining. And they were very interested in using gold
for their orb, Planet X itself, that supposedly is the gold that's been mined from the Earth that has something to do with the heat shield that the Planet X has. And it may have other properties that we don't know about.
Circuit boards, all your nuclear missiles have gold circuit boards because that's the fastest way to transmit electricity or however a circuit board works.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know.
So there you go.
Yeah, gold is used to make the finest computers because it's more precise when they're transferring information back and forth and so forth. So there's a possibility, you know, they need it for that.
Yeah, gold is one of those precious metals that the Nephilim have exploited when they've been here on Earth, and I think they're continuing to do that. And there's other elements within the Earth that have properties that I think we're just discovering as far as the transmission of energy. For example, quartz crystals, you know, they're also in computers, right? And other minerals. This is one of the reasons I understand that the Nephilim are returning with Planet X from Planet X is to recolonize the Earth once they arrive. Now, before we get off the air, I just want to briefly give you the scenario I understand that may take place if people don't wake up in time and try to avert this huge disaster that's on our horizon. First of all, I encourage people who are listening to do their homework, do their research. You don't have to believe a word I have to say, because it's hard to believe, and I understand why people be skeptical, but they should not just pass it off. They should do their homework. And basically what I see happening in the near future, and I'd say this is going to happen before 2012, although, again, I go back to the end date of the Mayan calendar being December 2012, was when some predict that we're going to have a major transformation take place and that Planet X perhaps has something to do with it, but this is all fantasy. As far as I'm concerned, it's just New Age fantasy. And I'm not putting it down at all New Age ideas, but this is one of them that I think is way off the mark as far as, you know, this miraculous transformation that's going to take place at the end of the Mayan calendar in December 2012, where consciousness is going to be dramatically affected and we're going to have a golden age and all this stuff. I think it's just the opposite. We're going into the age of terror. Now, there's research, there's books or historical books that go into this age of terror, which you don't hear much about, just recently came upon it. Which is part of some of culture's history, the Age of Terror, which you're in right now, and it's going to be exaggerated, amplified.
Well, what do you think about the possibility that they're returning to Earth because they need to replenish their food supply, which is us? I have seen what the Greys eat at Area 51, and they eat babies and people,
uh-huh.
And that's what they live on.
Uh-huh.
And cannibalism has always been a big part of devil worship. I mean,
right.
I was raised in a cannibalistic, satanic grotto. And
right.
They eat babies.
Right. Yeah.
There's thousands
possible.
Of babies that are consumed by these people each year.
Yep.
And, Satan does the most horrendous things possible, and that's what they're into.
Yep.
Could you expand a little onto that?
Well, this is what I think is going to happen if we allow it to happen. And it's up to us. Again, this is not inevitable that it's going to happen, but we're on this course and going headlong into it like we're on the Titanic. When the Planet X is closest to the Earth and it tethers, so this is where I think it's going to happen. Its north pole tethers to the south pole of the Earth and basically captures the magnetic field of the Earth, which results in the pole shift, okay, the geological shifting of the continents, the tectonic plates,
When that occurs, we're going to see huge inundations, land transformations, volcanic activity throughout the world, mega earthquakes. And so when that happens, most of humanity is going to be wiped out. The remnants, if there are any, that manage to survive, will have to contend with no food supply, anarchy, volcanic ash in the atmosphere for at least 100 years. It'll be total chaos. Plus, we have Planet X tethered to the Earth. Now, after the dust settles, who knows how long that might be. It could be 10, 25 years, 100 years. That's when I believe that the inhabitants of Planet X are going to colonize the Earth. So when you think about the possibility of them cannibalizing humans, I don't know that there's going to be any humans left to be cannibalized. I think we're going to be wiped out. And they will recolonize the Earth. They won't have to contend with us as a rebellious faction. And there you have it.
So you believe that the plan is just to totally wipe man out, take nothing but the resources of the planet, and that's what they intend to use? Just put it completely out of the picture.
Right. Yeah, see, we've been a thorn in their side in the past. We started out as a robot slave race based on their genetic experiments. They used the human race to do the dirty work in the mines, in the gold mines, and the other precious metals that they mine. They wanted a slave race, which we were at one time. And then we started evolving and becoming more independent and became more rebellious. And so we became a problem to them, and we proliferated, I guess, way beyond what they expected, you know, as far as the numbers. And so we became a force in and of itself. And so I don't think they want to contend with that. They just want us wiped out. They don't need us as a food source. I mean, if they're traveling through the universe from Orion, my understanding, their apogee, where they came from, is Orion, the constellation of Orion, which is, you know, light years away.
Which is Egyptology is all big on.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, if they're traveling through the universe, they have to have a food source. It's not human. So I don't think they're here mainly for humans as a food source. They're here to exploit our resources. And it's my understanding, the Earth is rather unique in the universe as far as the abundance of natural resources.
Kind of like the Independence Day movie scenario.
Exactly.
We have 7 minutes left. Mm-hmm. Tell me what else you want to say about Planet X.
Well, I know a lot of this information is hard to accept. It's very disturbing, and people turn off to it. I gave a couple of lectures on it, and I found that people are not ready to listen. They just can't handle the possibility of what I'm saying is true. And that is going to be our death knell right there, is people's fear and their reaction to this information. And I don't want to paint a picture that things are totally hopeless. But they will be hopeless if folks aren't willing to find the courage within themselves and the open-mindedness.
Well, how do people react at the lectures to what you had to say?
Well, I've only given two lectures. One was, both of them were in Oregon, and the turnout was very poor, even though I did a lot of publicity. And in the one situation, one lecture, 15 people showed up. And then after I gave my talk, I wanted to know what people's reactions were. Well, maybe three out of the 15 said that they thought what I had to say was probably true. But, you know, the rest of them didn't know, and then most of them were skeptical. So it's not a very promising situation when people, first of all, don't know much about it. And when they do hear about it, they turn away from it. It's like knowing that perhaps something's wrong with you physically, that you have a possibility of cancer, but you really don't want to acknowledge it. You go into denial. You know, there's a psychological process when it comes to trauma or crises that people experience, and the first thing is that people experience is denial as a way of coping. And this is when people have to get over the denial stage. Everybody has to get over the denial stage when it comes to this information, and they have to really immerse themselves in finding out more about it. If we have any chance of turning things around, it'll be because people have the courage to look into it and do their research and talk to other people about it and spread the word.
Do people call you crazy for researching these type things?
Yeah, you know, it's just they don't have to call you crazy. It's the look in their eye. They change the subject. You know, they don't want to know. They don't want to hear it. Period. It's denial. It's overwhelming. They just don't want to cope with it. They don't want to think about it. Now I think about it every day. Unfortunately. I wish I didn't know as much as I did, because it's a very disturbing. You know, I try not to think about it and try to just, you know, get on with my daily business and
everything
enjoy
connected
life.
With everything connected with this new world order is disturbing.
Yeah.
I mean, the various mafias even work in conjunction with Area 51 and mind control.
Right.
And they don't want the truth out there, or they want to put their version of the truth out there and make money off of it, like a lot of the other charlatans that are selling videos on this, and they're part of the operation.
The one thing I like people to know that are listening is that I'm not trying to make any money off of this. You know, I don't have a book out on it. There are many books that are out that are worth reading. I don't need to write another book about this. I'm not to try to capitalize on it. I don't go around, you know, do lecture circuit, make money, have videos. I don't do any of that. I'm doing this really for the reason of trying to inform people, raise awareness, and hopefully make a change.
Yeah, I'm not making any money out of this. I'm trying to get my government settlement for all the crap that they did to me and my family, extended family, and I've been told by 3 high-ranking government officials that I am going to get it, but it's not here yet. And they, when you put the truth out there, they like to keep you in a state of financial hardship.
Yep.
Have you had any problems like that?
Well, I'm 62 years old, and I just recently got early retirement, and it's not much money. But I can live off of it because I have very few expenses. So I don't have any problems per se. I have had some trouble financially in the last 10 years, partly because of choices I made, circumstances and whatnot. I don't feel like I'm being harassed or discriminated against by the government because I'm a new guy on the block. But I think they do know about me. You know, I've been an activist in other areas in the past.
Well, we got 1 minute left. Any closing thoughts?
Yes, if people like to know what I've written about it, I don't have a website per se, but they can go to Planet X and upcoming pole shift. There's a post that I have on Yahoo or Google, so they can look into it in that way. But I encourage people again to do their homework, to do the research, and to share the information and raise the hope level that we can't avert these disasters that I talked about.
Yeah. Well, this is Eugene B. Colson, and I thank you, Al, for coming on. Anybody wants to contact me, you can contact me at Eugene, UGENEBCULSON at yahoo.com. Eugene B. Colson at yahoo.com. And we'll do this again sometime, Al, okay?
Great. Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks, Eugene.
Thanks for being on.
Okay. This is Eugene B. Coulson signing off.